Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to have you here on a Monday. Got a lot of show for you today. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right at this thing. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, then. The show sets up like this. I've got a telephone number. It is paid for. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up right now, toll free. You get through Adam Hawk, you get in the rotation, you get on the air, you get racked, maybe you get a golden ticket. People find out about you, they follow you on Twitter, they check your social, and all of a sudden you get yourself a little brand. I'm like the idol maker. I'm here to help you. 1-800-636-8686. Also, follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, coming up next segment, we'll talk some basketball. Denver Nuggets head coach, Michael Malone. Top of hour number two, Hall of Fame trainer, Freddie Roach. We talk some boxing. Pacquiao fighting. Elton Brand, right after Freddie Roach. So that's what we call in the business, front-loading. Three interviews in the first half of the program. You can try to get through right now. I'd even put you up for the right phone call. Meantime, back end has plenty of time for you to call if you want to wait and see how it develops. I've got the ATP on a Monday, the Ask the Pros. Think about what you might want to ask me. All right, now, if you've listened to the show long enough, or even if you listened this past Friday, you know how I feel about the sport of tennis. It's a sport that I go way back with. I go back a long way. I love that sport. It's a sport that I used to talk about quite a bit on the program back in the day. Brad Gilbert, who, if memory serves, was ranked as high as number four in the world, used to come on this show quite a bit. We talk tennis, and we talk about the Raiders. Some of my favorite conversations ever in this business, on this show, on any of my TV shows, have been with Andre Agassi and Jimmy Connors. In fact, let me sidebar with you right now. Story time, right off the top of the program. I'm not sure I've ever done this, but I will. And not to name drop and not to make it about me, but to illustrate how much I love this sport. So back in the day, I had a pretty close relationship, you know, professionally with Team Agassi. Back in the day, Andre Agassi, Brad Gilbert, mental and physical guru, Gil Reyes. Close enough that one year, Andre Agassi, when he was still married to Brooke Shields, he invites Janet and I to their New Year's Eve party at their house. Couple of thoughts here. I've never really been about that life. Never really been about the see and be seen game. Keep that in mind. Number two, Andre Agassi is an extremely private person. As a media member, to even get an invite like that to a party like that is pretty amazing. So I got to admit, I was all about that. I was really into that. And Janet is into doing different things, so I knew she'd be all in. I knew that she would think that was different and cool and fun. So I'm going to be a legend. Not only am I planning New Year's Eve that year, I've got a great plan. Something totally different and something totally cool. Keep in mind, this is way back in the day. I'm going to say this probably was 1998, 1999, 20 years ago. So I'm all hyped. I can't wait to tell Janet about this great New Year's plan. And she immediately shoots it down, saying, "We already have plans." We do? None that I know of, and I guarantee they're not as good as the plan I have. She proceeds to tell me we are going to San Francisco that weekend to do New Year's Eve with a couple of her friends. To which I respond, "Oh, hell no. We're not going to Frisco. We are going to drive across town to Brentwood and kick it with Andre and Brooke and BG and Gil." Janet proceeds to tell me, "Look, I think it's amazing and awesome that Andre included us. Really great. However, this is not what we're about. We're not going to go all Hollywood. We are going to be real. We are going to be with our best friends, the people who were with us before anything good happened to us and still will be with us when something bad happens to us. And we're going to spend New Year's Eve with this couple and be among our best friends." Well, they're among your best friends, not mine. But I'm not really sure how to overcome that objection. You know, the objection being that we're not going to sell out. We're not going to go Hollywood. We're going to be real with our real friends. Well, needless to say, that weekend sucked. That couple didn't last much longer than that weekend, and I never got invited to another Andre Agassi event ever again. That said, That said, Andre is one of my favorite athletes ever. He wrote one of the best sports books I've ever read, and I love tennis. Purpose of the story, I love tennis. Always have, always will. Having said that, we don't talk as much tennis as we used to. Not because I don't like it, but because nobody talks as much tennis as they used to. And it's kind of been that way for most of this century. And I'm not going to beat you over the head. I'm not going to lecture you with it. I'm not going to say that you just don't get it. You don't understand. You're missing out. Like, I do understand. It's not for everybody. I'm not going to go all get off my lawn and tell you, you need to study the classics. Or breakfast at Wimbledon used to be a thing. That it's not like it was back in the days with Borg and McEnroe and Connors and Lendl and Courier and Agassi and Sampras. However, if you were near a TV or a laptop yesterday for a brief window, it was like that. Here's your final score. 7-6, 1-6, 7-6, 4-6, 13-12. If you know tennis, you know what those numbers mean. You know what 12 in the fifth means. If you don't, that's all right. Probably sounds like I'm rattling off stock prices. Just know this. For 4 hours and 57 minutes, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer battled their asses off in one of the greatest matches ever played at Wimbledon or anywhere else. I say one of because nothing's ever going to top Federer and Rafa Nadal back in 08 in the final. But this was close. Really close. And the fact that Federer was involved in another epic final more than a decade later, a few weeks before turning 38, against the world number one and one of the best to ever pick up a racket is pretty unreal. It's pretty unreal. It's unreal, but it's brutal that he lost both of those finals. My man's got 20 grand slams. He is a blade of grass away from at least 22. But his performance yesterday was epic. Now that's a word that gets thrown around quite a bit. In fact, way too much. But yesterday was an epic day. It was so good that people started throwing out cliches like, somebody had to lose. Tennis was the real winner. But those things are actually true. But I can't come in here and say that Roger Federer really won that match. He didn't. He lost. In fact, not only did he lose, I'd go as far as to say he let it get away. Notice I'm not saying he choked. I'm not going to go all hot take like that. I'm not saying he choked. I'm not saying he went into the tank. I am saying he let it get away. And nobody knows that better than Federer. This guy's up double match point. Serving for the match. Serving to add to his legacy. You have to finish. And he didn't. You've got to finish because it had been 71 years since a male player at Wimbledon had overcome match point to win. Think about that. More than seven decades since somebody overcame match point to win. Djokovic overcame two. This is why you have to choke that guy, especially that guy out, or he's going to come back and kill you, and he did. And as any great athlete will tell you, they remember the worst beats more than they do their best wins. I've never met an athlete who hasn't said that. And as great as Federer was yesterday, and as much as he said that he'll turn the page as quickly as he can on this and move on, he won't. He can't. How could he? He knows. He knows that on the verge of turning 38, he's never going to have a better look at another Wimbledon title or even another slam than he did yesterday, and it got away. So this notion that there were no losers yesterday, only winners, is wrong. Federer definitely lost. The scoreboard says it. He knows it. And the thing that has to be really troubling to Federer, he was the better player for most of the day, except on the bigger points. Except in the tiebreakers, when it mattered most. The Joker, he was not at his best. You know, like a pitcher having to find a way to grind out a win when he does not have his best stuff. Joker was mentally tougher, and he did play bigger on the bigger points. That was the difference. Something that Federer knows, and something that I'm sure is going to stay with him. But he's got nothing to be ashamed of. Played his guts out, left it all out there. Nothing to be ashamed of, but don't tell me it won't stick to him, because it will. In the meantime, let me say, the two of them put on a hell of a show. If I'm talking tennis at all on this show, it's because they put on a hell of a show. If I'm leading this show with tennis, you know something historic happened. So no, I'm not going to crack you over the head with it and say that if you've got a problem with that sport or that match, you've got a problem with yourself. Notice I'm not saying that. I really don't care if you don't care. I'm fine if you don't care. Just know I do. And I thought that was one of the greatest tennis matches I've ever seen. And given that no one is really talking about that sport much these days, it was my job to start the show with the best thing that I saw all weekend. And seeing this guy save two match points at Wimbledon in Federer's house when everybody was going crazy for him was one of the best things I've seen in tennis ever. Because it doesn't happen. You know, like some things are not possible in sports, you think? Sort of like blocking Kareem Skyhook, sort of like walking off on Mariano Rivera. There's certain things you don't see in sports. You don't see that guy saving two match points against that other guy. Not when everybody else in that house is cheering for the alleged GOAT. One more thought that I want to share. For everybody cheering for Federer and nobody wanting Novak to win, he knew that, but he had a technique for dealing with that.
I like to transmutate it in a way. So when the crowd is chanting Roger, I hear Novak. So that's... I know. It sounds silly, but it is like that. I try to convince myself that it's like that.
It actually sounds awesome to me. I like to transmutate it. Holy crap. He likes to transmutate it. My man, right when you thought it couldn't get any better, Novak goes out there and drops a transmutate on everybody in the room. And then after he transmutated those Roger chants into Novak chants, he went out and he transmutated the rest of the match into a Novak match.
Second serve from Federer to Djokovic to the backhand. Djokovic returns cross court. Federer misses wrong! Novak Djokovic is a Wimbledon champion for the fifth time. And he does it by saving two match points against Roger Federer to prevail.
Transmutation complete. My man went absolute legend yesterday. Final thought, he had 15 Grand Slam titles already. So he didn't go legend yesterday. He was already a legend. 15. That's more than Pete, Andre, Rod, Bjorn. More than everybody not named Roger and Rafa. So this guy is a legend already. Great match. Two amazing players. And a transmutation. I love it. So much so that I had to start the show with it. 1-800-636-8686. If you have any thoughts on what you saw yesterday, let's go right ahead and do it. As far as me not getting that invite to that party, I got to say, now that I'm a little bit older, a little bit more mature, I know more about the world, I'm more pissed today than I was then. Man, I'll never get that invite back. I can't figure out how to transmutate that. What I would give.
Transmutate.
1-800-636-8686. Dear Rome, a five-hour Wimbledon final. Man, that was quick. What was the rush? Signed, D.A. Smackoff call. Hey, Rome. Andre Agassi had some good New Year's Eve parties, but mine were always a little bit better. Signed, Pete Sampras. I doubt that. I really doubt that. Steve and PHX, when we come back, we're going to talk some basketball. Remember, I'm front-loading. I've got three interviews, but they're all in the first half of the program. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone, next segment. Are you finding it tougher and tougher to get to the grocery store? Then let Walmart do it for you. Just make your list, set a time for free pickup or delivery, then go about your day. Walmart associates will pick the best items for you, including fresh produce, and get it ready. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. Satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. All you have to do is download the Walmart grocery app and get started. Remember, use my code WOWFRESH. That'll get you $10 off your first order. It's just a $50 minimum purchase. It does not expire until December 31st, 2019. A small fee does apply. Remember, download the Walmart grocery app and get started with my code WOWFRESH.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got an open phone line. Use it. But we are joined right now by the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, as promised. He is entering his fifth season with Denver. He led the Nuggets to 54 wins, the second most in team history. In fact, they were 13-3 in games decided by 3 points or less, which led the league. Friend of the program, Michael Malone is my guest. Michael, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim, and always great to be on with you.
Always good to talk to you, Michael. Thanks so much. I know you took some time off after the season. You got a chance to decompress. Also, as you said, to look within. One of the things I always enjoy about our conversations is the fact that you're always somebody who's looking within, trying to figure out what you can do to be better. What was the process like for you after this season?
Well, thankfully, it was a little different than the last few years where we came up one game short of making the playoffs 2 years in a row prior to this season. So to finally break through in our fourth year here in Denver and to be not just a playoff team, Jim, but a dangerous playoff team, beating San Antonio in a game seven and then obviously getting to another game seven. So what a great experience for a young team. And that is only going to help us. My biggest concern, to be very honest, Jim, is 2 years in a row of not making it, you've got a, you know, that's a motivating factor. Well, now we've made it. We got this second round, and I have to make sure that our players are not complacent. They're not coming up for air. They're not thinking that we've arrived because we haven't done anything yet. Our ultimate goal is still to bring a championship to the city of Denver.
We're talking to Michael Malone. You know, it's a really honest point, a really honest answer. I mean, when you don't have that pain of missing the playoffs to serve as motivation, then you have to do that, right? You've got to fight complacency. You have to make sure guys don't get too comfortable. How do you go about doing that?
Well, constant communication, having conversations with players, sending out random text messages, you know, make sure our guys are working, we're staying hungry. And, you know, being a number two seed this year and winning a division and the things that you mentioned as we came into this conversation, people are getting ready to play for us. You know, the first 3 years, we were a team that nobody really gave much credit to and much credence to. Well, that's changed. We are a team that, you know, we're going to get other teams' best every single night. I think the question was, well, can this team perform at a high level on the big stage in the playoffs? And I think we answered that question at a pretty high level. Nikola Jokic, you know, I don't think anybody was really viewed him as a player that was going to play at the level he played at in the playoffs. He was just remarkable. So we have to make sure that next season, understand, every night we play, we're no longer a team that no one respects. We are on people's radar, and we're going to get their best every single night, and we have to prepare for that, and we have to be ready for that.
Nuggets head coach Michael Malone joining us. Michael, stay on that point of Jokic for a minute. He was a monster in the regular season, but he went to a completely new level in the postseason. Like, specifically, what did he show you from a mental and maturity standpoint with the way he showed up on the big stage?
I don't have enough adjectives to describe Nikola's play, and we all know how talented he is, how skilled he is, how unselfish he is. His IQ is off the charts, Jim. But I think what really stood out to me was he is always being criticized as, well, he's not athletic enough. He's not in good enough shape. And I think he put those things to rest in the playoffs. And the game that jumps out to me is game three against Portland, and we lose a four overtime game, and I played him 65 minutes. And the best part about this story is that Nikola and everybody else on our team, we didn't feel sorry for ourselves. We came back in game four and won a very important game in Portland after that loss. So for a guy to be able to play at that high of a level, the minutes that were placed upon him, the demands that were placed upon him, I think shows that maybe looks are deceiving. This kid is in great shape. He's in great conditioning, and he is a mentally tough kid going through this for the first time. So that's what really impressed me about Nikola was his mental approach, his mental edge, and his mental toughness.
We're talking to Michael Malone. So, Michael, you improved the win total each of your last 4 years. It's a pretty amazing accomplishment in and of itself, especially when you're doing it in the Western Conference. But I know that you're looking to make it five straight, but how do you go about improving upon 54 wins?
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous challenge. You know, we're the only team, to your point, Jim, that has improved in each of the 4 years, which is a really remarkable accomplishment. And the best part about it is, you know, we haven't had the Wonder Twins team up and come to Denver. Like you see all over the Western Conference, everybody's kind of teaming up and going here in the dynamic duo fashion. We've done it the old-fashioned way. We've earned it, we've worked for it, and we've developed all of our young players. So to do that 4 years in a row with such a young team speaks to the work and the effort that our coaches, that our front office, that our ownership, and our most importantly, our players have put in. But it'll be a challenge. You know, we could really realistically have a better season this year and maybe not win 54 games. You know, the West, the landscape changes so quickly. All I care about is, are our players working right now? Are we getting better? Are we going to address the areas that maybe we didn't do a good enough job in last year? And that's something I take great pride in. We have improved every year because we as an organization spend a lot of time in the summer figuring out what are the biggest concerns, how do we get better, and then teaching our guys and getting them to buy in. And I would say our greatest strength, Jim, has to be our continuity. You have all these other players that are coming together for the first time and joining up, which is great, and that's exciting, and the fans in the NBA should love that. But what we have over a lot of teams is year five for me and year three, four for most of our players. So there's continuity. That allowed us to get off to a great start last season, and we're hoping that's going to allow us to get off to another great start this year.
We're talking to Michael Malone. We'll do so for another couple of minutes. Michael, you mentioned the West. I mean, what a fascinating offseason it's been, and the landscape has changed dramatically. As you look at the conference now heading into the upcoming season, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, it's, you know, every time you think nothing crazier can happen, something else happens.
Right.
You know, I thought everything was kind of over with on coming back from Las Vegas for our Jeremy Grant press conference, who I'm so excited to have on our team now to be a part of our family. I think he's a tremendous pickup. But then you see the whole Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul trade. So the West is nuts. You know, you have Kawhi and Paul George. You have LeBron and Anthony Davis. You have Russell Westbrook and James Harden now. Well, you know what? We've got our team. And every year there's been some player or multiple players coming to the Western Conference. We don't concern ourselves about that. We don't waste time worrying about that. As long as we're doing our job, looking within, working hard, and coming back as improved players, improved coaches, and improved team, the rest will take care of itself.
Michael, you mentioned Grant. What do you like about his game, and how do you see him fitting into your team?
Well, I tell you, there's so many things I love about Jeremy Grant. You know, you start off with he's a young 25-year-old player coming off of a career year, career high in points, career high in rebounds, and a career high 39% from the three-point line. So I think he's just kind of breaking into who he can be as a player. And what I also love is that, and our analytics guys kind of talked about this when we were discussing this trade, we are a ball movement team. We play for Nikola Jokic a lot. And in Oklahoma City, obviously, they're more of a ball-dominant team, and well, they were in the past with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Well, Jeremy Grant doesn't need the ball to be effective. He plays well off of others, and I think he'll fit in tremendously alongside Nikola, Jamal, Gary, all of our players. But the most exciting thing for me, Jim, regarding Jeremy is his size, his wingspan, 7'3" wingspan, and the defensive versatility that he has. And in today's NBA, to be able to switch on to bigger players and smaller players while shooting close to 40% from three makes you a very valuable commodity. And to do it at 25 years old is even that much more exciting. He's from a basketball family. He grew up in a gym. His dad, his uncle, his brothers. I think it's just a tremendous fit for our culture. And meeting him the other day and being around him and his mother, Beverly, couldn't be more impressed with who he is as a person, as well as the player that we've all seen on the court.
Michael Malone joining us. Michael, before I let you go, I want to ask you about one more guy. You're going to get Michael Porter Jr., who essentially had a redshirt year last year. He suffered a knee injury in the last scrimmage before Summer League this year. So he's not playing at the moment, but what did you and your development staff see from him over the course of the past year?
Well, I'll say this. The first thing about Michael Porter is, you know, when he hurt his knee right before we went to Vegas, you know, I felt sick for the kid. He had spent the whole year getting ready. He put on 20 pounds of muscle, getting healthy, and was so excited to finally go to Vegas and be able to play in live five-on-five games. And for that to be taken from him at the last moment was hard for him. So this has been a really mentally trying time for him, but I think he realizes that as great as it would have been to play in Summer League, we still have the big season, the real season coming up in a few months. So what I saw from Michael Porter is a young man who has tremendous size, you know, 6'9", great wingspan, and the guy has a shooting touch out to well past the three-point line. He's been one of the best players in his class for many, many years. He's got great confidence. And the reality is this, Jim, and you know this, last year in the draft, if there's no concerns about his back, he's arguably a top two, top three pick. He falls to us at 14. We're very thankful that he did, because everything we've seen this year, his development, his growth, his maturity, you know, we believe that we've got a special player, and I'm excited to see him on the court this season.
No doubt. Michael Malone, my guest. I thought of one more thing, Michael, that I think is really interesting I want to ask you about. Will Barton said this about you, quote, "He did a hell of a job. Just to see his growth is phenomenal," end quote. Really interesting to hear a player talk about the growth of a coach. So what's your reaction when you hear that, and how much do you think you have changed as a coach in your time in Denver?
Yeah, and you know, and I saw that quote from Will, and it's always great, you know, because we're a family. We're around our players so much, and you know, culture is probably an overused term in the NBA and professional sports. But I will say, I do love our culture. I love our family atmosphere. It's more of a college type of an atmosphere than probably a pro sports one. But when I see one of our players speaking about my growth, I take great satisfaction in that, because we always ask our players to grow. You know what I mean? And I never want to be a hypocrite. I want us to be, if I'm holding you accountable, you hold me accountable. And I have grown. You know, this is my going on my fifth year, and I was in Sacramento for a year and a half. And I think I've calmed down. I think when I, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I was probably trying to coach every dribble and every game that we lost, felt like a game seven loss. And I think sometimes you have to, as a head coach, take a deep breath, take a step back, trust your players, trust the process, and know that you're doing things the right way, even if you have to take a step or two backwards in the moment. So I think I've grown. I've really worked on my relationships with my players, making sure they understand that I care about them. I want to get to know them, and I think they appreciate that. So Will's quote means a lot, just like when we clinched the All-Star coaching bid after I walked into the locker room and the players were all drenching me in water. So a very close group that we have. And I'm not done growing. I constantly want to challenge myself to be the best coach that I can be, the best father that I can be, and the best husband that I can be.
Michael Malone joining us. Man, I keep trying to let you go, Michael, but I can't. I got one more for you. So the thing about this, and I think about this in the way you answered that response, when you're a head coach and you're in that league, you're going to have some really difficult conversations, and difficult conversations with guys like Will Barton, Isaiah Thomas, both of whom I know you love. How did they go about handling those conversations, and what do you make of the way they responded after you had those tough talks with them last year? About their roles,
well,
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you know, my job as a head coach is to have those tough conversations and not shy away from it. You know, and you mentioned, you know, those are probably two of the toughest conversations I had all year long, starting with Isaiah Thomas, who I coached in Sacramento and have remained very close to, and was really happy that he was here this past season. And to take him out of the lineup in the rotation after just 9 games, yes, a tough conversation, but what so impressed me about Isaiah and what so impressed me about Will Barton is that we preach being selfless. We preach putting the team above the individual, and both of those guys lived it. They walked it. It wasn't just a hollow word up on a wall in the middle of a gymnasium. So I have tremendous respect for both Isaiah and Will, because taking Will out of the starting lineup in the playoffs was not easy. You know, guys had pride, and I didn't expect it to be easy, but I think players will always appreciate when you are direct with them, when you're honest with them. And as I tell them all the time, it's never about you as an individual. It is about what is best for the team. And this is what I think is best for the team at this time. I saw Isaiah in Vegas last week, gave him a big hug, told him, like I told him during the season, it's never personal. I love you now. I'm always going to love you. And I hope we can continue to have a great relationship. And he was great, as was Will. So tough conversations, Jim, are a part of it, but I think if you're open, you're honest, and you're direct, players will always appreciate that and respect that.
He is the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, entering his fifth season with Denver. He led them to 54 wins, second most in team history. Michael Malone, my guest. Michael, I appreciate that conversation so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the relationship. So good to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's always great being on with you, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
You got it. Coach Michael Malone. God, that's such a good conversation. So good. And when you want to look for the reasons why they're as improved as they are, as quickly as it's happened, why they not only made the postseason last year but did damage once they got there, start with your head coach, Michael Malone. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I've got an open segment when we come back, and then we go back to back at the top. So if there's something you want to hit on from the weekend, or you want to look ahead, or there's something I have not mentioned that you want to talk about, you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. You know, it's kind of proverbial and trite and cliche to say, damn, I'd run through a wall for that guy. But wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to play for a guy like that? Top of the hour, Freddie Roach. Also next hour, Elton Brand, 76ers GM. Right now, though, bottom of the hour sports update. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is time to ask the pros. You get to ask me a question, and of course, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question, listen, and I might answer yours later on. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Today is a very important anniversary. Do you know what it is? Very important anniversary. Involving this program. Meantime, really good reaction coming off the first half hour of the show. This email reads, Dear Jim, hi. Let me be the first to congratulate Roger Federer on his historic win at Wimbledon over Novak Djokovic. We all want to know, how does Novak feel after the game and if he's ready to give it another try? Sincerely, The Tennis Reporter.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But it's a win anyway.
What? You imagine a reporter asking a player who just lost how it felt to win? And then the player correcting the reporter, and the reporter still shaking that off. Oh, yeah, no, I know. But how does it feel?
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But it's a win anyway.
Actually, you don't know. Oh, yeah, I know. I hate yeah, I know person. When you correct somebody, oh, I know. Well, then why did you say that? Because you didn't know. Mike in the Bay. Everybody knows somebody like that, right? The yeah, I know guy. And no, actually, that's not right. Oh, no, I know. No, you don't. That's not what you just said. Everybody knows somebody like that. Everybody works with somebody like that. Everybody has somebody in their family like that. Every party has one. We all know. Yeah, I know, guy.
Yeah, I know.
Jim, I'm a huge fan of tennis as well. Tonsil tennis regards hoodie making out with his daughter on national television.
No days off.
Signed, Evan in the Bay. Hey, Evan. No. Just no. Hey, Evan.
No.
No. Dear no. Jim, did you say that Roger Federer left his guts out on the manicured lawns of Wimbledon? That sure makes me hungry. Signed, Hefty. Mike in the district. Hefty is looking to cut weight. I'm on that story. I'll get there. Hey, Jim, you had to skip New Year's at Andre and Brooks? Damn. I am the same age as Brooke. I have been in love with her since I was a teen. If it makes you feel any better, my wife would not have let me near her either. Regards, Leon Hartford. See, but that's not what that was about. It wasn't about her keeping me away from Brooke. And Janet was not concerned about that. Janet's whole deal was, this was at a time where, you know, we'd kind of come up in the world. A little bit, right? And Janet wanted to make the point, listen, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of it. It's amazing that Andre Agassi invited us to New Year's Eve, but listen, we got to be about the right stuff. Not that Andre's not. Andre's amazing. Andre's one of my favorite athletes. He's one of the most interesting, compelling people I've ever met. Janet's point to me was, listen, we got to be real. We're not going to be all Hollywood. We're not going to change. We are who we are. Our friends are who our friends are. And our friends invited us to San Francisco for New Year's Eve. And this is what we're really about. All right? So don't go being that guy. I said, look, I'm not that guy. I just know that this party's way better than what you're talking about. And we should do it. But I could not overcome the objection of, they asked first. They're our friends. We're going to be real. We're not going to go all Hollywood. But I thought that it would kind of suck, and it kind of did. And 20 years later, I am still kind of pissed. But no, it was not about keeping me away from Brooke. Jumpman, Adam Hawk's boy, Roger Federer's performance was epic yesterday. Yours, the Good Brothers, killing it at WWE's Extreme Rules last night. Brendan and the Natty, they did too. They did. You know how I always say to you that there's a show that's on the air, which is a pretty good show, but there's a show that runs simultaneously off the air that's a much better show? And if we could put the cameras on that show, I'd be so much more successful. If I could only show you the texts that I get from the Good Brothers. God, they're so good. One of these days. Either that will be a show unto itself, or I'll save that for my last week in the business. There's a lot of things I want to do that I can never do because it would be my last week in the business. So when I get to my last week in the business, I'm going to do it. Of course, I'll be 70 then. Man, you wouldn't even believe the fire that's going to come out of my pie hole at 70. It's going to be incredible. Brendan in the Natty, unwore hefty, fasting for 6 days in an effort to win the Open this weekend. Again, that's a real thing. He's trying to cut weight. I've heard of boxers doing extreme things to cut weight. I've heard of MMAers doing extreme things to cut weight. Not golfers. I mean, those guys have a reason to cut weight. They have weigh-ins. I don't think they have a weigh-in for Hefty, although they should. I don't think they have a weigh-in before the Open Championship for Hefty, although they should. Romy, transmutation. Cool word. Regards, programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
Transmutate.
One of my favorite lines ever by head coach. Actually, one of my favorite head coaches ever, Brad Childress. Hey, coach, why'd you make that change? Because he was, quote, a programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
Bro, you a coach or a chemistry teacher? Imagine telling a player, like Michael Malone just got through saying to us on this show, it's my job as head coach to have difficult conversations with the players. The players respect that. They respect when you look them in the eye and you deliver bad news, but you're direct about it and you explain why you do it. Imagine looking a player in the eye and saying, I can't start you in the postseason. Really, coach, why is that? Because you're a programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
This email says, hey, doggy dog, Novak transmutated those Roger chants into Novak chants? I should try some transmutation in the next smack-off. Signed, Mike in Indy, transmutating Brad in Corona won the smack-off into Mike in Indy won the smack-off.
Transmutate.
Signed, Tony from Iowa City. Good job, Tony. Dear Jim, stoked to have you back on terrestrial radio here in Colorado. I have been stuck listening on Wyoming's sports station for years and hearing updates on cattle futures. Every commercial break was killing me. War some jungle karma for the Nuggets next season. Luke and Fort Collins. Oh, you know it. You know it. Nuggets are a great jungle team. Really good jungle team. Good relationships. A lot of karma flowing that way. And it is great to be back on the air in Denver. All right, we'll take a short time out. As I mentioned, back-to-back to start hour number two, Freddie Roach, Hall of Fame boxing trainer, joins me next segment. And then we chase that with Elton Brand, Sixers GM. Phone lines are open. good reaction in hour number one. That's a good hour right there. 1-800-636-8686. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. Freddie Roach joins me next.